Small businesses are the cornerstones of our local communities, and small business owners are hardworking and passionate people who are chasing down their ambitions while there's a lot on the line. So, let Verizon champion your small business dreams. Whether you own a small business, are scaling one, or starting one from scratch, you need Verizon Small Business Days. From April 22nd through April 28th, you can partner with Verizon business experts for small business support. During Verizon Small Business Days, you can receive a free tech check with a one-on-one meeting with a Verizon business expert. Plus, Verizon business experts will provide you with personalized advice and solutions that are tailored to your specific small business needs. Take advantage of special offers and deals during Verizon Small Business Days and get more for your business. Verizon, well, they've got you back. Don't miss out. Book an appointment today. Just call 1-800-483-4428 or go to verizon.com/small business.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's Mix and Match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Welcome to Star Talk, your place in the universe where science and pop culture collide. Star Talk begins right now. Welcome to Star Talk Radio. I'm Neil deGrasse Tyson, your personal astrophysicist. I hail from New York City, where I serve as director of the Hayden Planetarium, which is part of the American Museum of Natural History on the Upper West Side of Manhattan. You know, every now and then, I conduct an interview with a guest that is so rich in content and personality and humor and the geekiness just oozes that we use the entire interview for the entire show. I think we've done this no more than two or three times in the 6 years we've been recording Star Talk. And I have to tell you, it happened again. This episode features just such an interview with a woman we all know as Queen Latifah. This woman, she's got enough personality to fill three people, as far as I can tell. She's definitely the queen. The queen, no doubt about it. And she's had success in many different ways in her professional life. She's a rapper, a songwriter, singer, producer, model, actress, talk show host. I can go on and on. And it's not as though she was just experimenting to see if she was good at it and then went on to something else. She's actively doing all of this at all times. But what struck me in particular about my interview with her was just how genuine and passionate she is about science. She is deeply curious about life, the universe, and everything. And I don't think many people know that about her. And of course, that's what we use Star Talk. That's Star Talk at its best, finding that hidden geek underbelly in people you didn't even know it existed within them. And so it's clear that Queen Latifah has got some geek underbelly going on with her. So the first part of our conversation, we kind of celebrate that geekiness. And we talk about the interconnectedness of science and art and what kind of science fiction film she dreams of making. Who knew? And here's a hint. Whatever that film is she wants to make, it's got to involve nunchucks. I think she wants to kick some sci-fi ass. So let's go to that conversation right now.
My mother is an art teacher. Art and fascination with nature and things like that was normal in my household. Music was big in my household, instruments and how they worked, and radio. And my brother loved science. So he wanted a chemistry set immediately. And I was
like,
did
he burn a hole in the living room
carpet? Oh, he was all about tearing things apart, taking things. There wasn't a safe radio in my house. My brother would instantly, you know.
Back in a time when you could take things apart.
You could take it apart.
Nothing gets taken apart today.
Which is not good.
I know. I have to agree. It's not.
This was something that
we missed something there.
We definitely missed a step. I mean, I think we did great in terms of moving things forward and fashioning new technology, but there's something about being tactile and touching things and knowing what they feel like, sound like, smell like. And, you know, I also grew up in Maryland and Virginia, which is where my grandparents are from. So my grandfather had, you know, for us coming down to Maryland in the summers or Christmas time, was a big old basement with a lot of tools
stuff. And
wood. And that's what we did. We went downstairs and we built things and we made things and we measured and cut.
This is before Netflix.
Definitely before Netflix and Nickelodeon. You know, no cable in the house.
No cable. So
just a couple channels that you had to work out with an antenna. So. You know, aluminum foil antenna. So, I mean, you know, it was kind of the practical ways that science sort of invaded your life because you had to use it.
But that meant you didn't fear it. There are people who saw it as, well, that's science and I'm not science, so therefore I will shun it or walk around it or avoid it. And so, so what you're saying, not to put words in your mouth, but...
Help me out here, bro. Help us out. It's okay.
That a person as an adult can embrace science if only it didn't leave a bad taste in your mouth growing up. If it was even just neutral, that's a good thing.
At least start it neutral.
Right.
And now understand, I mean, I come from a Christian family, so of course we could get into creationists versus Darwinists, all that kind of stuff. That wasn't even really a big topic of discussion. There was...
By the way, I think I've done a little homework on this. In the traditional black churches, however religious they were, it did not include running to the school board to have them change the curriculum in the biology class. That was
not going on
in the black churches.
No.
It was more about community and this sort of thing.
Which was fine.
Yeah.
Which was a good place for it to be, you know? I think, you know, a kid has to be fascinated about, kids I think are fascinated about things. And when they really are fascinated, you want to feed that. So the family I came from was one that fed whatever spark they saw in us kids. So my mom and my dad were as curious about us as kids as we were about the world. And so when they saw a spark, they kind of fed that thing and kind of tried to nurture it rather than, you know, guide us in one direction or other.
Which happens all too often, because then you end up doing something that wasn't even in your own soul of curiosity. It's what your parents wanted for you.
Which is no fun.
It's no fun.
Life's just no fun like that.
Right. Now, you are hugely talented. I mean, looking at your resume, there was nothing you haven't done, I don't think. All right? If there's something you haven't done, I don't even know if you know you haven't done. So what's left? Talk show host, producer, hip hop star, movie star, Oscar nominated, performer, model.
Those intros get long, man. I'm standing on the side of the stage to be introduced sometimes, and I'm like, Jesus.
Could you hurry this up?
I'm getting tired hearing about all the stuff I did.
Do you find yourself having to pick what you do next?
I do have to pick what I do next because time is the one thing that I'm just not given, a lot of. And so,
well, I'm glad you noticed that because that's for damn sure correct.
Yeah, I'm not able to be eight me's. If I could, I would, because I'd get a lot more done, obviously, but I can't. So, yeah, I mean, quality of life is important to me these days. It's really about, am I enjoying what I do? Am I happy? Does it push me in some sort of way? I have to be pushed. Because I need a challenge. So I get bored very easily. If I'm not, doing something interesting, then I'm like, okay, well, it's boring. So it just doesn't feed me very much. So Yeah, I do have to do a sci-fi movie. That's definitely on my...
Well, that's on your bucket list?
It is so on my bucket list, man.
Sci-fi movie. Now, you don't count. You were in the Sphere.
I was in Sphere, but I need to be number one on the call sheet. You know, I'm not like number 17 where
right,
I'm kind of just
there.
Like...
You were down there.
I need to actually do something. I was getting killed, and plus I got killed in Sphere. I got killed.
You were not alone in getting killed in Sphere.
I was getting too good at getting killed. I had to put a no-kill clause in my contract.
You should do that?
I did. I was like, okay, I got killed and set it off. No sequel there.
I
got
didn't
killed in
know
Sphere.
You could do that.
I'm like, I died too good. I get that. I'm good at this. Okay, so I told my agent, listen, no more dying in these movies because there'll never be a sequel. So let's wrap that up.
Oh, that's
up
right.
Now.
Sequel's the thing. That's
let's
where
wrap
that
up.
The comeback on the money comes on the sequel.
Shut that down. Let's shut it down.
Okay, plus.
There's a lot more.
I mean, I guess we went many decades without black folk being portrayed in the future.
Mm-hmm.
We're not. And
yeah, which is
that meant somebody's thinking about a future where they ain't some where they round them up and not put them up. So, but science fiction films have a huge following, loyal followings, mm-hmm. and so you're overdue.
I'm way overdue. I mean, I've been
let the record show.
Yeah, I mean, in my household there was Star Trek, and you watched Trek, and we were Trekkies, and we laid in front of the TV and. My brother could perfectly imitate Kirk and Spock, and you know, we still know words. They have a drink. It's called Tranya, and we're like Tranya. What a word! You know, you could make up things that didn't sound typical. You know, you could create things, and they didn't have to be what you read in a book. You could imagine something, and that was it's the whole imagination of it all. I mean, we haven't seen it necessarily, so who says it does or doesn't exist? So you can just make it up. You know, which is kind of cool, especially if you ground it in something that's sort of real.
So plus, since you didn't dislike science, it meant you were open to science-y things that might arise in your life. So one of my good friends of recent years is Bill Nye. And I go through
guy.
The archives. There you go. You a guest.
How you going to be from the Bronx and let Bill Nye, the science guy, have a rap name? And get your rap name on. You know?
You can call me MC Squared.
That's, no. I mean, that is probably kind of cool. I give you that.
So how do you land on Bill Nye the Science Guy? How did that happen?
Frankly, it's the same way I found you. I mean, I enjoy someone who is way more advanced and knowledgeable than I, but translates that to, you know, someone like myself who can understand it and get just as excited about it as they are. And it's that passion, you know, it's the passion you have, it's the passion he has, and taking something simple and explaining it, you know, something that you see in everyday
life. So you were celebrating that fact.
I love that. I mean, biology was one of my favorite classes as a freshman.
Yeah, but how many, you were already a successful hip-hop star, okay? Let me show up on Bill Nye the Science Guy.
That doesn't stop. I mean, I know a few people around here are kind of geeks, you know, and proud. We're proud to be.
But are they? We got to let them out of the closet.
I think Will Smith is a pretty big geek.
Okay.
He's a guy. He got into MIT. I mean, for all intents and purposes, had he not been the huge number one movie star that he is, he probably would have been an amazing scientist
developer.
So this
is like a fork in the road.
Yeah.
That was. Oh my God.
We're not just talented. These gifts of music and acting, it all comes from a fascination, a curiosity, and some of us actually do hit the books. I kind of, you know, went left a little bit at some point, and the clubs got a little more fascinating to me, but...
I'm so heartened to see your accommodation and sensitivity to just science-y things, because mm-hmm. Science is everywhere.
Science.
It's in our lives. And I'm hurt almost when I hear someone say, I was never good at science, and it's not me. I'm an artist, not a scientist. Or I'm a this, not a that. And, by the way, where's my smartphone? I have to call.
Right.
You know, you can't artificially divorce what you think is science from the science that's actually touching your life.
Well, it's touching our lives constantly. I mean, and thank God, what will we do? I mean, there's a lot of things that wouldn't even be
in
here.
The cave. Right.
You know,
be dead
had
otherwise.
Someone not like done some sort of investigation into something, you know?
Be dead or otherwise.
Yeah, right.
So do you have any secret geek underbelly?
Well, I don't know. I'm fascinated about a lot of things.
You like the science fiction genre?
I do.
Otherwise, why are you trying to get... Again,
no, I love the science fiction genre. That goes without saying, but I'll say it. I love sci-fi and I want to be in a big, giant sci-fi movie or something that's really cool and small, as long as it's good.
And how about superheroes? You do a superhero thing?
All that. I love superheroes. I still believe I have a karate, kung fu, some sort of picture in me. There's no way I grew up on that much Bruce Lee and Star Trek to not be able to combine the two as an adult.
Bruce Lee and Star Trek.
And apply my life. It was just a whole marathon on. You know,
you just want to staple marathon together stuff that happened in your life and create a movie role for it.
Why not? You know, I'm already on it. Like, this is
so you into martial arts. What kind of martial arts you do?
I love them all. I mean, I definitely love karate, kung fu. I love mixed martial arts. I love judo. Like,
do you actually do it or just sort of think about
some
it?
Some of it I can do. I mean, this, my father was a SWAT officer and he knew karate. So he taught us a lot of that stuff as kids.
So you can kick some ass.
I might be able to kick, well, depending on what condition in the knee is in
that knee,
on
and
that
the rheumatism
day,
in the knee.
I definitely can do a couple things. But I have some nunchucks at home. And
nunchucks?
And,
oh, my God.
And I just, like, that's like my...
After Bruce Lee did his nunchuck, we all had to buy nunchucks.
We had to. I mean, it was
a
must.
Nunchucks. We all had nunchucks.
Chinese stars and throwing things. And we still walk around in Chinese, you know, shoes, karate shoes.
Right.
They're just very comfortable and practical, mm-hmm. you know? And, yeah, so that's kind of my thing. But I have some nunchucks that I just, you know, kind of use for stress relief. I'll just stand there. When I need to think about something, I'll stand there. And I'm just flipping my nunchucks, and it's okay.
I
work through it.
You are. You tell me when you just want to take your mind off of things, you will just play with nunchucks.
I will. I'm going to grab some nunchucks and just. Boom. And yeah, and then I'll feel good
like
for
your
a
sound
second.
Effects there.
Get myself going.
Since this is radio, this is the indication of how fast you're swirling them around. So I remember, I'm old enough to remember, pre-Bruce Lee, I mean, Bruce Lee was around, but not yet a big movie star. There was this film, Billy Jack.
Wow, the legend of Billy Jack.
Billy Jack.
How about?
And so he was a half-breed.
Yeah, yeah,
half
I remember
engine,
that.
Half, right? And he was sticking up for the local tribes that are getting abused by the thugs, right? And... But he was in the Green Berets, all right? And
they didn't know who they were messing with.
They didn't know who they were messing with. My favorite line. Mm. There's some, you know, redneck sheriff walks up to him, badmouths him, and he says, and Billy Jack says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take this foot. He points to his main foot, and I'm going to put it on that side of your face. wait, okay, that's badass.
That is
enough.
Badass.
But it continues, and he says, and you know something else? There ain't a damn thing you can do about it.
There ain't a damn thing you can do about it.
And then in slow motion, up comes the foot against his face, his cheek, and there it is.
Was nothing he could have done about it.
That, and so
and
I,
no.
I saw that, and I said, I want to be...
You feel me? It will never go away. That's what it just never going to go away.
I got my nunchucks now. I think my brother took them.
You should. Just get the padded ones like the ones I have because I'm not that skillful with them. So if you make a mistake, you don't bruise yourself.
No, but that's how you know to not make a mistake after that.
Exactly. And you get good quick, I guess, or you're going to put them down. Exactly. One or the other. There's only two ways we're going about this.
There's only two ways. Really good or stop.
Or stop. Right. For your own safety.
Okay, so a sci-fi kung fu action superhero drama. All right.
That sounds like fun to me. I don't know what the problem is here.
It's obvious.
This is a no-brainer. Throw some music in there.
They just introduced Wonder Woman. I mean, that's
I'm
a new
excited
thing.
About
yeah.
That
was a moving moment when she just sort
of... Yeah, she's got to have the invisible plane. And I mean, but this is what I grew up on. So I'm really excited that...
So it's in reach.
It's like a whole new generation that they're really just going so hard. With these effects that they have nowadays, it's just so...
Yeah, there's no limit.
Real.
Right. Used to be, can they make the mechanical model?
Right. And now we have virtual reality. And I'm really interested in seeing where that's going to go because I just shot a promotion for this American Heart Association thing, and one of the guys, his company directed The Cove.
Okay.
But they're also developing
virtual
reality. That
was the documentary that was so influential.
Exactly, about the dolphins and everything. But they developed this VR, and it was like, he's like, come here, try these on. So I put these glasses on, and I'm literally under the ocean, and I'm watching sharks swim by and fish and... And it's just, you're turning your head in every direction, you're moving, you're looking up, you're looking down. It's a little disorienting initially, but once you kind of give into it a bit, you're sort of in an entirely different world. And it's very real to your brain, which is kind of cool to
That's
me.
That's the whole point of it, right, right. It doesn't have to be physically real, just
right.
As long real as, it's as real the matrix to your brain. Is real.
Because some of it you're going to want to probably take those glasses off at some point, okay, and come up out of that world.
That's another kind of matrix to live in.
It is, right, it is.
Coming up, Queen Latifah and I discussed hip-hop as a kind of a social movement, kind of a force of change in society. And also, perhaps you might remember a recent dust-up that I had with another hip-hop artist regarding what shape the earth has. Yeah, well, we went there. And we'll hear all about that and more when Star Talk Radio returns.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. Dear small and medium businesses, no one wants happy customers more than you do. So you need a business partner just like you, like FedEx, who understands your passion for serving your customers because they have the same commitment towards you. That's why FedEx offers you picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the US on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. What's more, FedEx Ground is faster to more locations than UPS Ground. Trust FedEx for timely deliveries. See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.
Whether you're a family vacation traveler, business tripper, or long weekend adventurer, Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. And that's good, because there are a lot of me's. Choice Hotels has over 7,400 locations and 22 brands, including Comfort Hotels, Radisson Hotels, and Cambria Hotels. Get the best value for your money when you book with Choice Hotels. Cambria Hotels feature locally inspired hotel bars with specialty cocktails and downtown locations in the center of it all. Hey, that's me. Radisson Hotels have flexible workspaces to get the most of your business travel and on-site restaurants. That's me, too. And at Comfort Hotels, you'll enjoy free hot breakfast with fresh waffles, great pools for the entire family, and spacious rooms. Hey, that's me, too. I guess I'm just going to have to stay at all of them. Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. Book direct at choicehotels.com, where travel comes true.
Do you want to set up your child for success? Of course you do. Maybe you want to save money on private tutoring, or maybe it's just out of your budget altogether. Is this a big school year for your child? Like maybe they're starting kindergarten, middle school, or high school, or some other milestone. Maybe your family moved and they're starting at a new school. Is your child ahead? Not getting challenged enough in class? Well, we love that little smarty, but we want them to be engaged. IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids covering math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed to help them really understand and master topics in a fun way. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or the personality. There's one site for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. Kids can use it at home on the computer or on the go through the app on your phone or your tablet. No more grading those worksheets. IXL grades everything itself. And no more trying to figure out how to explain math equations or grammar rules yourself. IXL has built-in explanation videos. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Star Talk Radio listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/StarTalk. Visit IXL.com/StarTalk to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Welcome back to Star Talk Radio. I'm your host, Neil deGrasse Tyson. In this week's episode, we break format from our normal sort of structure of the show, and we're featuring my interview with Queen Latifah, but without any interruptions at all, just straight through. And that's the entirety of this episode. And in this segment, we reveal that how she got her start. And of course, it's as a rapper and a hip-hop artist. And of course, she's a damn good one. And, you know, she's been nominated for 7 Grammys. 7 Grammys, and 5 of them for her rap albums. So she's out there getting the job done. But more than that, her lyrics serve as a kind of a potent source of inspiration for women. And back in the day, female rappers were, there weren't any. I mean, there might have been 1 or 2. And she was one of those 2. So she had an especially visible and influential platform from which to be heard. And I wondered how that platform might be constructed in modern times to stimulate women to enter the STEM careers, science, technology, engineering, and math. And also, I was curious, you know, when the arts embrace science and the sciences embrace the arts, then people are no longer sort of bounded or contained or boxed in by or labeled by saying they're this or that. And maybe you can be a scientist and be an artist, or be one and embrace the other. And you're really only bounded by your curiosity. So let's rejoin my interview with Queen Latifah as we explore the role of performance art as a vehicle to effect change.
Some of your earlier hip-hop work, and I don't know your more recent work, forgive me, but your earlier work, it a lot of it was in the service of empowerment of women.
Right.
And have you ever considered a dimension of that to encourage women in the STEM fields? Because, you know, performance has influence, right?
I mean,
it's the power of an artist is never neutral.
Right.
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 And so, when it's done with a mission, it can be quite potent.
I would actually
And right
love
now,
to
STEM,
do that.
The STEM, you know, science, technology, engineering, and math, we're trying to sort of move women.
Yes.
Or not, at least not have them fear it as a minimum. And so, have you ever thought of leaning that way in any of your output?
I would love to. And maybe that's a new idea that you've given me to really focus on. Because whenever I've been, whenever it's sort of come past me or anyone has been involved with it that wanted me to do something, say some sort of promo or just send a shout out to the kids, I've always done it. But I haven't really driven anything towards it. But I know how important it is because it's really sad how people are discouraged from doing the things that they're capable of doing. And at the end of the day, it holds all of us back.
Plus, there's social forces, you know.
Yeah.
Is the girl as attractive to boys if she's smarter than the boy? You know, we got to overcome all this.
Well, we do have to overcome this. Yeah. But how did the boys overcome it? You know, the boys who were once supposedly unattractive are now the most attractive.
That's true.
You know, so
right, geek chic.
But this is something that parents should be educating kids on.
I hadn't thought about
that. Time, listen, you have to. There's a whole myriad of things that kids have to get through. Puberty alone is a challenge, you know, and everything's the end of the world. But if you can get them through that to the other side of it, life begins to take over and things begin to appear and it gets exciting.
Well, it's the full expression of freedom.
That's right. Yeah. And yeah, I want to see, I mean, I was one of those girls, so I wasn't, but I wasn't dissuaded from it.
Right,
you know?
This is that important
And that's the
here.
Difference.
Yes.
So yeah, I anything that empowers. Yes.
Yes.
And it was kind of, it was fun, you know?
And kind of cool.
Yeah, it's cool. To me, I think it's sexy. Uh-huh. I think a female scientist, someone discovering, someone in the belly of the lab. See, that's where the acting thing, that's why I was not supposed to be a scientist, but an actor.
That? Did we script that?
That's all that James T. Kirk coming through me.
If only, I'm an actor, Jim. I'm not a doctor. I'm an actor.
Damn it, we've got to get these girls in science and math. Anyway, but no, I would definitely support it. So if you come up with some ideas
right,
for
no,
me
to know. Not that I'm a dear generator there. But
write a rhyme and bust something out, you know.
Okay.
Or maybe I'll do something. That's a good idea. I think I'll go back to the lab and figure out how I can integrate some STEM support in there.
So I got a little pulled into the hip-hop scene a few months ago where the rap star B.O.B. started going off that Earth was flat. And oh, I don't know if you know about this. So he starts. Yeah. So I, you know, I don't care
Wait,
what
I
people
like
think.
I do know about
that's
this.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. So I don't care, except there must have been some overlap in the Venn diagram of his Twitter followers and my Twitter followers, because my Twitter line started lighting up, saying, "Please save B.O.B. from himself. Could you correct him? Could you?" They're pleading to me. These were his fans that also followed me.
Right.
And I still said, no, I can't. I don't have time for this. No. And then I looked at his Twitter stream, and he said, "I use physics and math to show the Earth is flat." Now, there's a fight in words, right? Then I said, no, I got to rise up to this. And so I showed that he was wrong. But then I said, but it's okay for you to think the world is flat. Just don't try to influence anyone else.
Right. Well, he wasn't serious, right?
Well,
it was just some creative license kind of thing, right?
Maybe, I don't know.
No way he was serious.
And then...
Come on, you've flown around a bad boy.
Then he sang a diss track, all right?
You have made it. You arrived.
I went, wow. So now I'm not a rap star, so I had to call my nephew, Stephen Tyson Jr.,
right,
who is himself a rap. He's got his own little fledgling career. And I said, what do I do now? And he said, I'll help you write
it. Let him write you some rhymes.
Diss track
That's
back.
Right.
And so, no, I didn't rhyme it. He did it. And so he wrote a diss track. So then I'll end up on Sway.
Okay? Oh, my God.
This is my,
I love it.
I'm just an astrophysicist pulling me into all of this. I'm on Sway on SiriusXM.
You can't have it both ways. Now, you can't separate science from the creative. We just discussed this. The creative is connected now. So you win. It's all full circle.
It's true. It's full circle. I'm just saying, it was, I was like.
And you're from the boogie down.
I was pulled in.
Represent.
Briefly. And I quickly said, okay, that's enough for now.
Yes.
So you had an Oscar nomination for Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
I saw that film and it was like you were born to play that role.
I feel like I was.
Oh my gosh. It was like I cannot imagine anyone else in this role. That's how I knew. That was like, wow.
I haven't had to fight for a role that hard since.
Have you fought for that role?
I took 3 auditions to get that role.
Oh my God.
Three. I was like, listen.
Who'd you beat out?
I think I beat out a lot of people, a lot of people of note who would have been great in that role.
Yeah.
But I had to fight.
Well, I know it's properly cast when someone else is unthinkable.
Exactly.
In the role.
And you have to really, you know, I think I've sealed Matron Mama Morton in people's minds, and I hope that they don't ever see anybody else other than me playing it in that way. But yeah, that was a. Yeah, I had to audition for Rob Marshall, the director, in New York. And it's tricky because when that whole thing came up, it was just after 9/11. Broadway was shut down. And people just started performing again, and I had to go see the play because I hadn't seen the play. So I went to see the play and I made it through intermission. And I just was so kind of nervous. Because it was literally less than 2 weeks after 9/11, I was nervous. So I was like, okay, I got it. I'm out.
You got the gist.
You know, I'm good.
I'm out.
I'm okay. I'm going to take a break on this. And that was that. But
There was still the jitters.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It was a very tough time in New York, you know, such a sensitive time in New York for all of us. But yeah, so I auditioned once. I had to wait for a call back. Got the call back. Then I had to go up there and sing, then I got that.
That's right,
and
everybody then it was sang like, in that movie.
Yeah, and then I had to fly up to
Zeta
Toronto.
Jones sang, everybody sang.
I had to audition with her. I had to read and sing with her, and that's what, after that, they gave me the role.
Okay.
I was like, come on, man.
Didn't Richard Gere sing his own?
Everybody sang. Everybody
that was good.
Did their own thing, and you know, he was a great director. Mm-hmm. To really get that out of everybody and make them feel so comfortable.
Right.
You know, people who hadn't really done that, so.
I didn't see your film Bessie, but I know Bessie. I mean, I'm a huge blues fan.
You know
fan.
Bessie? Well, how old is you?
No.
You got to be, well, pushing 130.
130. Got the rheumatism.
Yeah, your hip is killing you right now. Damn.
It's going to rain in a couple hours. I need a porch.
Oh, my God.
Some New Yorkers don't have that,
oh,
that
man.
You know, old people on the front porch.
I know, right?
Mentality. But I'm just a fan of the blues, mm-hmm. and some people's stories were undertold historically.
Right.
So I'm glad you found that medium and that story
to
tell.
Yeah, we need to tell that story.
Yeah, that's just,
she was something else.
Congratulations
she changed a lot.
On that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Look at that face. Okay. This must be a good one.
Let me tell you something stupidly geeky. So I read that you sang in, was it New Jersey Performing Arts Center, which is right in the middle of Newark.
Mm-hmm.
You did a version of Oh Happy Day.
I did.
Of that song from the Edwin Hawkins Singers.
Yes.
Okay. So that was one of my favorite gospel songs when I was a kid. And one time I was very young, and my mother had to go out. And for some reason, she didn't take me, but was a little worried about leaving me at home. So she put me on the, I must have been four or something, mm-hmm. I don't know, five, put me on the couch, played Oh Happy Day in repeat mode, which you could do on the record player in the day.
Wow.
And because she knew I liked the song, so I wouldn't leave as long as the song was playing.
Wow.
But I decided to count how many times they said Oh Happy Day in that song.
Are you serious?
And to this day, I have that number.
Which is?
It's 59 times. It's not more than that. You might think it was more than that. But, oh, happy day when Jesus walked. You know, and then the chorus comes in. And then there's like, oh, happy day.
Yes, yes.
And this song just,
it keeps a lot of time.
Ascending. Yes. You are in heaven when that song is done. Right?
Right.
So wherever you were, you end up in heaven. And so it's 59 times.
That's why you are who you are. Because who sits there at 4 years old and counts?
I might have been five, but I was
close.
My feet didn't leave the couch.
Right, right.
Couldn't hit the ground on the couch.
And I'm glad you could count to almost 60 at that
Thank
age.
You.
Good job.
Actually, I wonder, maybe I didn't know how to count to 60 and it was 59 plus.
Right, right?
59 double check.
I love that.
So I had to tell you that story because if you sang that song.
And you stayed put too, huh?
I stayed put. I didn't budge the whole time.
See, Mama knew.
She knew.
She knew.
Had me figured out.
She's like, this will keep him occupied.
Also, did you cut an album called Traveling Light?
I did.
Okay. So, that's the punchline of a joke.
Really?
Of a geeky joke. Yeah.
Hit me. Okay. You have to. You can't go there and not give it up. It's very good.
Okay. So, a photon walks into a bar.
No, sorry, you got me at that.
I messed it up. No. So a photon checks into a hotel.
Okay.
Okay. And the bellhop comes and says, hello, do you have any luggage? He says, no, I'm traveling light.
Oh my God.
A photon is traveling light. That's good.
That's good.
And I saw that album. I said, no, I got that. I'm there.
The
I don't know what's in the album, but I got the joke.
Look, the best part of it is your laughter before the joke. I knew you were going to mess the joke if I say he's laughing too hard.
It's no,
how my mother starts
going
a joke.
To a bar. But
I love that. I want to hear some more.
You want to hear a couple more?
Yeah, okay. You might as well hit me with a couple more.
So what denomination religion are you raised in?
Christian.
What denomination of Christianity?
Baptist.
Catholic and Baptist.
I'm all
okay.
confused.
So do you remember the year and a half ago, over in Switzerland, they discovered what was called the Higgs boson, which was this particle long sought. And this particle has a field around it, mm-hmm. where if you're another particle and you go through that field,
right.
this part, the Higgs boson grants that particle mass. It's a badass particle
wow.
to do this. You have the power to give mass to other particles that come through. So it won a Nobel Prize. It was a very, very important particle. Okay. In fact, there's a book published called The God Particle.
Right, right, right.
In anticipation
right.
of the discovery of that particle.
Right.
Okay. So that's the setup. Now, this is a joke where I know who invented the joke. How often do you know who invents a joke? Like hardly ever.
You hardly ever.
It's lost.
No, you just don't
it's
know.
Lost in the ether. Right.
Right.
I know who invented this joke. His name is Brian Mallow.
Wow.
And he's got a Twitter handle called Science Comedian.
So we got people who try
to make you laugh, right?
See?
On this. So this is his joke. You ready? A Higgs boson walks into a church. And the priest says, I'm sorry, we don't allow Higgs bosons in church. And the Higgs boson says, oh, but without me, you can't have mass.
Oh my God. Oh my God! See, I knew the 9 years of Catholic school would pay off.
You've been missing out on some geek jokes your whole life.
Yo, I'm about to get my geek joke on, because and we get an education and some humor, and I can't wait to hear one where I'm like, nah, not so much on that.
So we got good people. We got people thinking this stuff up.
That's a good one. Yeah. I'm about to do some Higgs boson research. I'm all excited about that, to be able to give math.
Yeah, think about it. Look at all the, you know, sex and relationships and New York versus L.A., the tired subjects that everyone composes jokes on. Think of the limitless cosmos.
Oh, man. Just saying. Literally the limitless.
And ever expanding, yes, cosmos. When Star Talk returns, you will not have to hear any more of my corny, geeky jokes. But if you want to tweet your own at Star Talk Radio, we'd love to see what you've got. When Star Talk returns, you will not have to hear any more of my corny, geeky jokes. But if you want to tweet your own at Star Talk Radio, we'd love to see what you've got up your sleeve. Coming up, Queen Latifah and I talk about the new film Ice Age 5, Collision Course. In it, she plays a woolly mammoth named Ellie. And I have my own cameo in it. Shh. It's my animated movie debut. I play Neil DeBuck Weasel. Just stay tuned. You'll get more in a moment.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Welcome back to Star Talk Radio. I'm Neil deGrasse Tyson. Tonight, we, you know, every now and again, we have an episode. It's not even every now and again. It's every couple of years, maybe. An episode is so full and so rich in content that we just run my interview just as it happened. And that's what you're getting tonight with my conversation with Queen Latifah. And you're just going to hear the whole thing, basically. And in this next part of the conversation, we talk about her latest movie, Ice Age 5, Collision Course. You heard me right. Ice Age 5. There's almost as many of these things as the Fast and Furious series. It caught me by surprise, too. If you're not alone, if you're saying five, there have been five of these. Well, she plays the woolly mammoth named Ellie. And I even have my own cameo in the film. I play Neil DeBuck Weasel, which I'm not roaming with the rest of the mammals. I exist in the head of Buck the Weasel, helping him make important decisions. Well, let's check it out. So, you're a mammoth.
I am.
Ellie.
You got the word out, huh? Yes, I am Ellie, the woolly mammoth, who once thought she was a possum. She's clear about that at this point.
So this is like the most successful animated series ever or something?
Huge, yes.
That's crazy.
Worldwide,
huge.
It's huge.
Now, isn't that a mystery to even the producers themselves?
You know,
it's a fun
I'm sure
topic.
They're happy about
no
it.
One's going to argue that it wasn't a fun subject, but I'm betting they didn't think this was going to be a worldwide phenomenon. And you all have almost as many episodes as the Fast and Furious series. And that's saying something.
This is our fifth one. That's okay. Crazy.
Okay.
I mean, I've been a hero in my household to my nieces and nephews, rather. They didn't call me Aunt Dane is my real name. They called me Aunt Ellie for months. Auntie Ellie. Oh, Auntie Ellie is on the phone. Okay, hi, Auntie Ellie. I'm like, you know, I'm not a woolly mammoth. They don't exist anymore. I'm still just Auntie Dane.
So does that sensitize you to any? This is the obvious cliche question they always ask actors. Mm-hmm. So are you now sensitized to climate or extinct animals or
I don't think I've always been sensitized to that.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm a Pisces. You know, I mean, where's that in your cosmos, man? you know, but I think I am because, not so much because of Ice Age, which I think is going to be huge and funny and exciting all over again. And I love doing it every time. But just because I travel the world, I love going different places on this planet. And, when you get to see some of the beauty and harshness of, as well, you just kind of want it to be. I mean, I want the damn planet to live. I mean, how
in fact,
could
the
you,
harshness empowers you to appreciate the beauty all the more.
It really does, and makes you know you realize that. I mean, we're here. We're all here together. We need to share this one planet. So, what just disturbs me the most, I guess, is the fact that we even have the power to that much power. To be able to harm our own planet,
right.
You know, that we could actually have, be capable,
it's
physically
new,
capable of doing something like that.
They're debating what to call the new geologic era, where the Earth is now influenced by the conduct of one of its species, the human beings.
Listen, I think the Earth is going to win eventually. It always does. And
everybody's saying, oh, let's save Earth. No, Earth don't need...
Earth is going to be fine. What's not going to be fine is us. Don't you get this? Listen, we get wiped out every time.
Right.
You know,
right,
you've
right.
got to
the
realize.
The fossil record shows it, yes.
We lose this fight every time. The Earth and, then you know, nature is always going to take over.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll have its way. But so...
So did they tell you? I don't know if they told you.
Told me what?
They told me. I have a cameo in Ice Age.
You do? I do know about that.
I have a cameo in Ice Age.
Aren't you in...
I'm not going to tell.
I know where you are, too. I know exactly where you are.
I'm just a little thing. It's just a little thing.
I got the word on it. Aren't you in? You're in the.
Mm. I'm in the thought process.
You're in a good place though.
Yeah, it's a good place. It's a good
you're
place.
In a great place.
Because once I get to be, I wouldn't agree if it was just completely. I don't mind people having fun with science
right.
in a movie, provided they have fun in a. I don't know, if in the right moments they don't take themselves too seriously
right.
and you're just having fun,
right.
then everybody has fun and then I'm all for it. And if an artist taps me on the shoulder and says, can you bring some of your science expertise
right.
to my art project?
Yeah.
And if an artist is reaching for me, I gotta come when called.
Of course you do.
I do.
Especially when you could pop some reality in it, something that could, is really
just
possible.
A little bit, just
you
a
know,
little bit.
You know, God bless them. Every time they have to figure out some way, some plausible way to create
a catastrophe.
Extinction level event.
Every movie, they got to figure it out.
Everybody's going down. Like, you know what I mean? So how did it happen?
It has to be. It could be playfully plausible.
And a squirrel did it.
A squirrel.
Prehistoric squirrel.
A squirrely thing.
A scrat. The rat squirrel, whatever he
right.
is.
Right. And he's the hero.
He's
like,
my favorite character.
He's everybody's favorite character.
Every movie is like
everybody's
nobody
got a stuffed scrat. Right.
And he doesn't even speak a word. He's just, get it. I'm like, damn, that's a good
imitation.
Gig. Thank you. I like to think I love Scrat enough to imitate him well.
So it's funny because I don't do, it's not what I do. So I'm in an interloper. And it was just fun when I did my lines and then they said, okay, now this is the part where we just need you to make noises for when you're doing things. So I need you to grunt.
Right.
I need you to,
in
case you're climbing something.
It's trippy, right?
Yeah, it was a whole just sort of the sound effects.
How was that experience for you? It was surreal.
I enjoyed it, but because then it was learning how the sausage gets made that any VO person knows, you know, and so.
Yeah, you can literally pass out trying to do that stuff. I mean, some of the voiceover studios mm-hmm. have this sort of almost a ballet bar. It's like a bar that's a horizontal and vertical kind mm-hmm. of shaped, and you can lean on it to run. So that you make the right, without making too much noise with your clothes, but getting
right.
the breath out to sound like you are running and chasing. Because you can, I mean, people have passed out doing these effects, you know, trying to make the sound of running or breathing
right,
so
right,
hard
right.
that they're like, I've heard some funny stories through the years about people who like knock themselves out from like.
Just one other VO I was asked. Okay, in this scene, you're falling into a black hole. So give me the anguish and pain that is.
And you said. What was that like?
Okay.
Let's hear it.
Well, you get extruded through the fabric of space as you get ripped head to toe. So it's quite a,
some good extrusion. Good extrusion right there.
You have to feel like you're
that
being stressed
really
out.
That was really good.
I'm getting better.
I like it. It's in your faces and your voices.
Okay?
I really feel like you got extruded just then. I'll miss you.
Acting.
I'll miss you, bud.
Acting.
See you next lifetime.
All right. For this last part of the show, Queen Latifah had a burning question for me. You know, in my experience interviewing artists and celebrities and folks who you may know for other reasons, on Star Talk, it's often that I'm the first astrophysicist they've ever met, or at least the first one they had a chance to sit down with. And being the curious folks they tend to be, artists, you know, are not only curious about how to find new ways to portray the world, they're curious about the world itself. Some people may be surprised to learn that. And I'm delighted to have found that out here on Star Talk. And so usually when given the chance, they'll just pelt me with questions about the universe. When I ask them if they have any questions, and sure enough, I asked it of Queen Latifah, and she charmed me with hers. Let's see what it was.
Okay, I got too many questions, so I'll just ask you. I want to know just one thing then. So you have an asteroid in your desk. Is that true?
I do. In my desk, yeah. It's in my drawer.
In your office.
In my lower left drawer.
An asteroid in your lower left drawer.
Yeah, actually a meteorite, yeah.
But
it was once an asteroid, but yeah.
Right, I'm sorry, not an asteroid. That's crazy. Yeah. But a meteorite. So what is it like to actually touch something that was in outer space for the first time? I mean, to have studied this, but to actually physically have something in your hands that was there and that's now here.
That is a beautiful question. And let me give you a slightly long answer.
I'll take it.
Okay. At the Air and Space Museum in Washington, D.C., Smithsonian Air and Space, they have the original Apollo 11 capsule that went to the moon. Occasionally you have tourists coming through and they say, oh, so this is the capsule that went to the moon and came back. And they say, oh, is it a replica? No, it's the actual capsule. And when you tell them that, then they take higher interest. And we live in a time where you can make an exact replica if you wanted to every detail, but the knowledge that it's real matters. I could have perfect knowledge of what an asteroid is and how it enters Earth's atmosphere and you find it, and I can know it intellectually, but until you hold it in your hand, it is never as real as it can possibly be. And so this asteroid, which is this piece of an asteroid, this relic from the early solar system, it's 4.5 billion years old, sitting in my desk drawer, every time I pull it out, and you feel how heavy it is, how dense, how uncommonly dense it is, and it's craggy, and magnets stick to it, and you realize that it contains iron forged in stars from long ago, that manufactured iron that is also in the hemoglobin of your blood.
Mm-hmm.
So the iron of this asteroid, of this meteorite, and the iron in your blood have a common origin. So there's a cosmic connectivity that has no equal as I hold that meteorite in my hand.
Yes!
Oh, and by the way, I collect old science books written in the day of when the discoveries were made. So they go back several centuries. My wife is always telling me, oh, why don't you just get it online? Why are you paying for this? Just, you can read the content. Google, scan the book, find the page, and I say, no, I can hold the book that's been held by generations of people before me. There's margin notes of people trying to work through the equations when no one before had ever seen these equations.
Mm-hmm.
In that way, I commune through time
yes.
with those who have struggled mightily to understand our place in the universe?
You owe me an interview. Thank you so much.
All right, we got to wrap up this episode of Star Talk. And I hope you had as much fun listening to this conversation as I did having it. And no, you can't not be enchanted by Queen Latifah. I am an even bigger fan of hers now than I was before, because she's warm and smart and talented and kind and giving, all the things that I think most people aspire to be. People aspire to be the bits and pieces that she is, and yet she has all those bits and pieces in one person. And so I tip my hat. No, I bow to the Queen, to Queen Latifah. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Star Talk Radio, and I've been your host, Neil deGrasse Tyson. And as always, I bid you to keep looking up.